content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Dick Hayden for the North Carolina Reading Service, and I am substituting for John Ivey as we are going to go for an episode of Sports Illustrated Kids. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Sports Illustrated Kids magazine. So let's kind of get into it and see what we have here for you on this episode. We're going to check out your information, your knowledge base here, you might say. Did you see what's going on? This is out of the section called End Zone. And we're going to describe a situation for you and then ask you if you know the call. So it's what's the call? This one is Mutiny on Ice. Okay, now what we have here is Whitney and Buzz have chosen an NHL, National Hockey League, rules a shootout to determine who will be the editor-in-chief of SIA Kids. How about that? Whitney skates toward Buzz and she deeks, causing Buzz to lose his balance and stumble. As Buzz begins to fall backward, the net bends on its flexible pegs. Whitney scores, backhanding it past Buzz while the front of the net is slightly off the ice, but still connected to the pegs. Buzz complains that Whitney can't score if the net is at all off the ice, and Whitney argues that the net was still on its moorings. Does Whitney's goal count? What do you think? Well, here's the answer on what's the call. Number one, the goal does count. As long as the net is connected to the flexible pegs, a goal is allowed. Whitney is now the new editor-in-chief of SI Kids. How about that? All right, number two. It's titled Walk the Dog. So what do we have on this one? The Cambridge Chows are playing the Providence Pugs in baseball under MLB rules. In the fourth inning, the Pugs are up at bat with the bases loaded and two outs. With the count full, the Pugs' base runners are off with the pitch. Tommy Springfield takes a big lead off second and is already rounding third by the time Chow's catcher, Jalen Fox, receives the pitch. The pitch, however, is called a ball. Springfield is entitled to advance to third on the walk, but is already running home when the call is made. Fox tags Springfield out. Springfield thinks he should be allowed to go back to third. So what do you think? Well, I'll tell you what the answers are, according to SI Kids. The Springfield is out. The ball is not dead. He is entitled to third, but can be tagged out for stealing home. Oops, made a mistake on that one, didn't he? Now we got some basketball for you. It's called Got the Jump On. Rival centers, Lindsey Krause of the Huron Heat and Angie Goldberg of the Superior Suns, looks like they're naming their teams from where they're located, which is where? Well, the Great Lakes, Lake Huron and Lake Superior. Anyway, they line up for a tip-off in a basketball game played under WNBA rules. The referee tosses the ball in the air, and Goldberg, who is taller than Krause, taps it at its highest point. Before the ball can hit the court, however, Goldberg catches it in midair, functionally passing to herself. Goldberg and her teammates score on an ensuing fast break. But Krause and the Heat complain that a player should not be allowed to hit the ball to herself. And you are the referee. So, what's the call? Well, the basket does not count, and the Heat gets the ball. Neither jumper can catch the ball until it touches the court, the basket, or another player. Okay. The rules are interesting, and sometimes they catch you when you do not expect them. I've got another one for you here. It's the mystery athlete. We got to figure out who this athlete is. And this is, I'll give you a couple of clues. First one is, it's hockey, and it's a guy. And the picture above him is, I don't think he could be more than 4 years old. But he's got his hockey outfit on, everything except a mask, and he has black pants with gold stripe down the side. He's wearing a gold shirt. And that might help a little bit. There are three clues. The first clue is that the mystery athlete grew up in Pewaukee, Wisconsin. P-E-W-A-U-K-E-E, Pewaukee, Wisconsin. And he went on to attend the University of Wisconsin, where he played football. Okay? That might help a little more for the second clue. The Pittsburgh Steelers took the mystery athlete with a 30th pick. Whoa, that's way down the line. A 30th pick in the 2017 draft. He was selected to the all-rookie team, however, as a linebacker. Got it yet? No? How about a third clue? The mystery athlete has two older brothers in the NFL. One brother is a teammate on the Steelers, and the other is a defensive lineman for the Texans. Who do you think that is? Who do you think that is? Well, the answer is this. It's T.J. Watt, linebacker for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And wouldn't you know it, of course, he got his colors right, even though his arrangement was wrong as a kid, because the Steelers, in the picture, he's wearing a black jersey and gold pants, and in his picture as about a 4 or 5-year-old, he's got a gold jersey and black pants. It's still T.J. Watt, linebacker, the Pittsburgh Steelers. And we have a third one. This one is a trivia challenge. In October, Brianna Stewart won her second WNBA Finals MVP in her fourth season in the league. Which of the following players has not also won the award multiple times? Which of the following players has not also won that same award multiple times? First of all, Candace Parker, or Diana Taurasi, or Lisa Leslie. Candace, Diana, or Lisa? What do you think it was? Well, the answer is A, Candace Parker. She's the only one of those players who has not also won the award of MVP multiple times. I'd like to win it once. And now we'll take a look at Buzz Beamer, a cartoon in SI Kids by Bill Hines. What we have going on in this cartoon, there's two folks here. We've got Whitney and we have Buzz. Whitney is in her house, standing at the door, looking out. The door's open. She's kind of leaning out a little bit. And Buzz says, Whitney, we had a monster snow dump last night. Can I borrow your dad's snow shovel? And I'm telling you, guys and gals, the snow out there is deep. It's really deep. And Buzz says, it's for our driveway. And Whitney has come out of the house now, dressed for winter, and says, Buzz, are you feeling okay? And then in the next panel, she says, can I help? And Buzz says, nah, I got this. And he's shoveling away. And in the next panel, Whitney says, I bet your dad likes it when you're so helpful, Buzz. And Buzz, oh, you can just see him just shoveling fast as can be. And he says, helpful? He says, I've got to get this done before he finds out. And in the next panel, Whitney's got this look on her face like, what? And then the final panel, here's what we see. First of all, Buzz says, I need to borrow your ladder. And Whitney says, standing there with her arms folded, saying, not in a million years. And what's the picture? Well, the picture is Buzz has shoveled the snow to a point where he has created a ramp of snow. Everything, all the snow is off the driveway, and it's come together in the middle, and he's built a ramp. It's high on one end and zips down and curves back up to the other end. And then at the end of that ramp, there are three big snowmen that have been made, big chunky ones, and they've got sticks for their arms hanging, sticking up in the air. And on all of their faces, they got the little charcoal, pieces of charcoal or coal itself to make eyes, nose, and mouth. And they've all got a kind of a scared look on their face. and this thing is backed right up to the garage wall. And what's going to happen is Buzz is planning to get on the garage with his sled, go down the garage roof, out onto that ramp, and it'll go down and then up in the air, and he's planning to jump over all of the snow people that he's built. I think I would agree with Whitney with that look on her face and then saying, not in a million years. In each of the editions of SI Kids, there's always a page where they have cards, playing cards. We used to get them in our chewing gum when I was a kid. About the players and tells you some things about them. I'm going to share some of the ones that are in this issue. I think you might find them interesting as we find out what we know or are going to learn about the various stars. Let's go with Justin Fields, Ohio State Buckeyes quarterback. Height 6'3" tall, weight 228 pounds, born March the 5th of 1999, and his hometown is Kennesaw, Georgia. After transferring to Ohio State from Georgia following the 2018 season, Fields took over as the Buckeyes starting quarterback in 2019. He threw for 3,273 yards, got 41 touchdowns and just 3 interceptions, leading OSU to the college football playoff. Fields finished 3rd in the Heisman Trophy voting. Did you know that the only player to win more than one Heisman Trophy also played for the Ohio State Buckeyes? That was running back Archie Griffin back in 1974 and 1975. Then we have Samantha Mewis, USWNT midfielder. 5'10" tall, born October the 9th in 1992, and her hometown is Hanson, Massachusetts. Mewis has scored 18 goals in 67 games for the U.S., including a pair against Thailand in the 2019 World Cup. She's played in 6 of the team's 7 games as the U.S. won the championship. After winning 2 NWSL titles with North Carolina, Mewis transferred to Manchester City in August along with U.S. teammate Rose Laval. Did you know that Man City won the FA Women's Super League in 2016, but has now finished 2nd 3 years in a row? Who knows about Nathan McKinnon, Colorado Avalanche center? He's 6'0" tall, weighs 200 pounds, was born on September the 1st of 1995. Where's he from? Spring Hill, Nova Scotia, Canada. Following a season in which he finished 5th in the NHL in points with 93, McKinnon was runner-up voting for the Hart Trophy given to the league's MVP. He won the Lady Byng Memorial Trophy as the league's most gentlemanly player. McKinnon was the first pick of the 2013 draft. And did you know, before they moved to Colorado, the Avalanche played in Quebec and were known as the Nordiques, which means Northmen or Northerners in French, because French is the dominant language spoken in the Canadian province of Quebec. A province being essentially what we would call a state in our country, the United States. How about Michael Thomas, New Orleans Saints, a wide receiver? Oh, he's kind of short. He's only 6'3" tall. Wow. That's great. He weighs 212 pounds, and he was born on March the 3rd, 1993, hometown Woodland Hills, California. Did you know that Thomas is a nephew of Keyshawn Johnson, who made 3 Pro Bowls as a wide receiver? Well, he is. And here's what we know about him. Thomas set an NFL record with 149 catches in 2019, when he also led the league with 1,725 receiving yards. He became the first receiver named AP Offensive Player of the Year since 1993, when Hall of Famer Jerry Rice won that award. in 2018, when he also led the league in receptions, he set a team record with 16 catches in one game against the Buccaneers. Now, this isn't on the card, but I'm going to ask you, who did Jerry Rice play for? Do you know? Dot, 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 dot. I think that's how the music goes. But here's the answer. Jerry Rice played for the San Francisco 49ers. Let's take a look here at, we'll go back here to the Padres and their shortstop. We read about him on the last episode, I think, Fernando Tatis, Jr. Fernando, we didn't tell you these things. He is 6 feet, 3 inches tall. He weighs 217 pounds. He was born on January the 2nd of 1999 and his hometown, San Pedro de Macos. I don't know how to pronounce it. San Pedro de Macorís, Dominican Republic. And that may explain why I can't pronounce it very well. Did you know this? Tatis' father made major league history in 1999 when he became the only player to hit two grand slams in one inning. And he did that for the Cardinals. After a stellar rookie season in which he hit 22 homers in just 84 games, Fernando Tatis Jr. finished second in the NL in home runs with 17 and fourth in RBIs, 45, in 2020. He also cut his errors from 18 down to 3. Thanks largely to his play, the Padres reached the postseason for the first time in 14 years. And now Naomi Osaka. She's on the WTA Tour. Naomi is 5 feet 11 inches tall. She was born in October the 16th of 1997. And, my goodness, her last name and her town are the same. Naomi Osaka was born in Osaka, Japan. Despite losing the first set to Victoria Azarenka, Osaka stormed back to win her second U.S. Open in September. She became the first player in the women's draw in 26 years to win an Open final after dropping the first set. Did you know this? By winning the 2018 U.S. Open, Osaka became the first athlete born in Japan to win a Grand Slam event. Osaka moved to the U.S. when she was young, but she gave up her citizenship so she could represent Japan internationally. That's quite a collection of some great stars there, things they've done, and facts that we didn't know about, perhaps. I have a couple of interesting items for you here. At least I think they're interesting. You know, with the coronavirus pandemic that we have, COVID-19, I'm certain, know, we've had a major, very major impact on sports, on what can happen, particularly when it comes to people going to the stadiums in order to watch a game and enjoy it. Well, we've got something in this particular issue that is kind of interesting. First of all, it's called Cut It Out. It's a picture under the heading of Freeze Frame from July 24, 2020 from Queens, New York. And it is a picture taken of the entire baseball stadium. It says, just because there are no fans at major league games doesn't mean the stands are empty. Teams have gone to great lengths to fill the seats with everything from cutouts of fans to teddy bears. And the Mets, pictured in this thing playing against the Braves, have a program called Take a Seat, through which fans can be part of a virtual crowd in exchange for a donation to a COVID relief charity. And as you look at this picture, I'll describe it for you. The not the deck, but the playing field level of the seats all the way around are all of these cutouts of people's, and they got people's faces on them and things, all people who have made a donation. And the Mets are out there playing the Braves on the field, and when they look into the stands, they can at least see something that looks like there may be people to go along with all the piped-in information. Well, then to go with that, further back in this particular issue, under the heading of warm-up, there's a couple of little things here about this very thing. First of all, one is called fake fans. With Major League Baseball teams playing to empty ballparks, the teams borrowed a solution from Taiwan, the cutouts of fans. Besides making the stands look like big games of Guess Who, it offered a chance to get creative. Dogs gained admission. People were cloned, and Chipper Jones grabbed a pair of seats at Citi Field for him and his son Shay, who is named after the Mets' old park where Chipper hit so well as a rival player. So here we have a Dodger player standing here, his mask, got a mask on his face, and he's looking at these cutouts and pointing at one of them, and he says, "Y'all saving that seat, or, like, can I come and sit down?" And another one, there's a little, remember a game called Where's Waldo? Well, found him. You'd really think, given his choice of clothing, that Waldo would be at a Reds or a Cardinals game, but that's his genius. He keeps you guessing. And there is a cutout of Waldo next to a bunch of players and people in the stands from something else. So somebody finally found Waldo. And Big Baby. This is a cutout sitting there in a seat. This young fan greets the A's with a scowl of someone who just witnessed an error, oops, or a filled up diaper. And here's a cutout with this baby's face on it, really big, and the baby's just scowling like, you know, some people are just about willing to go to any length in order to get the seats that they want at a game. This one's cheat seats. For the crafty fan not satisfied with sending their corrugated plastic proxy to the game to have it be put in the stands, there exists another option, spying on the game from afar. Pirates prospect Quinn Priester, and he's in a picture off to the side to the right, took in a game from a rooftop outside of Wrigley Field. And McCovey Cove near right, that was another picture here, has the best view of what's happening in Oracle Park, but for the fans willing to hop in a kayak, there's a chance of grabbing a splash hit, a home run hit into San Francisco Bay. Barry Bonds famously sent 35 balls over the field, out of the field, and into the bay for a bath. At an August 2nd, a dinger. Let's see, that was one from the Rangers' Shin Soo Chu, and it caused quite a scuffle in the bay, as multiple Giants fans got soaked trying to jump in and grab the ball. Folks, they didn't remember that social distancing still applies when you're in the water. This COVID-19 pandemic has caused a lot of problems in a lot of areas, not the least of which being sports. So out of the section called Milestones, History Hindered, the pandemic pause proved particularly painful for players pursuing plateaus. Albert Pujols. Before the season, the Angels' first baseman was 4 home runs away from 660, which would tie Willie Mays for number 5 on the list all time. Pujols made up for lost time. 3 of his first 5 hits in 2020 left the yard. And Miguel Cabrera. Nobody suffered from short season more than Angel, who entered it with 23 homers short of 500 and 185 hits short of 3,000. Serena Williams, well, the pandemic may actually help her tie the majors win record of 24 when she faces a depleted field at the U.S. Open. Carmelo Anthony, well, that forward is just 50 points away from tying Tim Duncan for 14th in all-time scoring, 26,496 points after the truncated season. And Travis Zajac, the Devils missed 13 regular season games, and Travis is 9 contests away from his Silver Stick ceremony for having played a total of 1,000 games. That's an awful lot. Tyler Booker, let's take a look at this future star, born New Haven, Connecticut, April the 12th, 2004, in a sport of football. Well, he wasn't born into football, of course, but you know what I mean. Tyler, the top-ranked offensive tackle in the class of 2022, has a scholarship. And actually, he has scholarship offers from Power 5 schools, Florida, Georgia, LSU, Alabama, and Arizona State. Unable to travel for campus visits because of the COVID-19 pandemic, he held honest conversations about racial inequality with recruiters from his Connecticut home as protests for justice spread across the country. Tyler began his high school career at a New Jersey prep powerhouse school called Bergen Catholic before transferring to IMG Academy, Bradenton, Florida in 2019, where he helped the nation's seventh-ranked school to a 9-1 record. And a lot of athletes transfer in high school to the IMG Academy for the various programs. It's quite a thing. And next to this little article is a picture of Tyler standing in front of a white sheet that has been hooked up to a screen, like a baseball screen, backstop behind him, with a big light on him, getting ready for some photo shoot action. We still have a few minutes left in this week's episode of SI Kids, so let's take a look at some more folks from the various sports and see what's going on. Lynn Williams from North Carolina, the North Carolina Courage. She is a forward. She's 5'7" tall, born on May the 21st, 1993, and her hometown is Fresno, California, and came all the way east to North Carolina for the Courage. For the third straight season, Williams led the Courage in goals in 2019-12. She also played every minute of the postseason as North Carolina won the second league title in a row. In the 2020 Challenge Cup, Williams scored 3 goals in the Courage's first 2 games. And did you know that the NWSL was the first U.S. pro sports league to return to action during the COVID-19 pandemic? The league held an 8-team tournament in a bubble, and it was won by the Houston Dash. I think we got time for one more of these little playing card items here. Let's see. Oh, here's one that I kind of like. Valerie Bottas, Formula One driver. Wow. 5'8", 154 pounds, born on August the 28th of 1989. His hometown is Nastola, Finland. Thanks to 4 podium, top 3 finishes, that is, Bottas was 3rd in the Formula One driver standings through the 5 races. He won the season-opening Austrian Grand Prix, his 8th victory since joining the Mercedes-Benz team in 2017, and he finished 2nd to his teammate Lewis Hamilton in the 2019 standings. And did you know that only 9 Finns have driven in Formula One? But they have won 55 races more than every country except the UK, Germany, Brazil, and France. Well, we run out of time for today's episode of Sports Illustrated Kids. Be sure to tune in next time, and we hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Dick Hayden, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is for blind Pearsons and those who are print impaired. And this episode is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org.